as he remains standing for just a moment. How many of y'all really believe he's worth standing for? He's worth standing for. I want you to do something. I want you to look at your neighbor, even if you don't know your neighbor, the person that you're worshiping with today, and say, you know what? Jesus looks good. Tell him, Jesus looks good. It looks good. And by the way, and then go ahead and tell him this, and so do you. There you go. All right. You may be seated. He is alive. He is alive. He's alive. He's alive. And man, I'm telling you, God himself is excited today to have you in his presence. If you're visiting today, I want to welcome you. And I know a few more people come to church at Easter than other times. Okay, I've been around. But I want to welcome you to hear why today is a big deal. Why today is such a big deal. And it's because we really worship a Lord that brings us to a full and abundant life. And we have a life like no other. This week, Newsweek followed suit as they have in the past couple of decades of my life. And every week of Easter, they brought some exciting news to me this week. They said right on the cover in a big cross, Christianity in decline. You know what I said? Good. Good. If the form of Christianity that we have in America today is in decline, I'm all excited about that. Amen. Because here's what I want you to know. While Christianity may decline, Jesus always rises. Amen. He's on the ascent. And I don't know, maybe Christianity needs to decline so Jesus can ascend. Amen. Because you know what? Jesus doesn't have as many issues as Christianity. Jesus comes with message, not issues, message. And his message is this, is that you and I can live a life like no other. Jesus stated his purpose in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10. He said, the thief comes, his core principle. There's a thief. There is a devil. There is evil. We know that. We know that. We can't excuse that. We can't dismiss it. We can't explain it away. We know there's an evil. But today we're able to proclaim this. There is not an evil strong enough to hold God at bay. We won't keep God away. He said the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now guess what? Some of us in here, how many of y'all have tasted a little bit from the thief before? Hey, how many of y'all have let him steal something that really wasn't his? Like your joy. Huh? Like your joy. And how many of you have ever let him kill something that should have remained alive? Huh? Huh? Like you, like your spirit, like your promise. And then you know what? God doesn't want you to be destroyed. How many of you glad to know that today we worship and you've heard some great singing and passionate hearts and we got some guests in here going, oh my gosh, why are they so excited? I don't know. The whole universe has changed. No, literally, the whole universe changed. The whole universe changed in Jesus. Because until Jesus was risen from the grave, you and I did not have a promise to get us over death. You and I did not have a promise that would get us beyond death. But now we do. You say, well, Pastor Ayers, I need you to intellectually confirm for me the resurrection. Can't do it. I can historically verify that there is an account by Josephus, the great Jewish historian, of a Jesus in Rome, in Jerusalem, at that era of time that caused a lot of social trouble. And they even mention the story of the resurrection. Nobody on earth wanted Jesus to get out of that grave. Nobody on earth, let me clarify that, in power wanted Jesus to get out of that grave. Because if he gets out of the grave, what does that do to their organizational power? It changes everything. Because the chief priest is no longer the chief priest. Hello? And the Caesar is no longer the most powerful. Think about Caesar's dilemma. Caesar in Rome himself pictured himself as being divine, divinely appointed from the gods. But everybody knows when Caesar dies, he stays what? So the political powers could not outreign God. The social powers could not outreign God. And the power of sin could not contain God. We've been through this week. There is a Jesus. He is alive. How many of y'all glad to know that? So, you know what? If Christianity is on decline, I say amen. I say Jesus is on the rise. What do you think? And I want to encourage you, instead of looking at a system of religion, to fall in love with a person who is the Son of God named Jesus. And I think when we start following that person, our lives abundantly change. Anybody in this house found that to be true? That when I follow Jesus... Because what does Jesus want raised in me? Jesus wants to raise some things in us. He wants to show us that we can get past the barriers of life. There is a crisis. There's an ultimate crisis. You all been hearing about crisis for 24 months in our culture. Let me give you a crisis. Without Christ, you're going to hell. That's the biggest crisis you got. Now, for some of you who've gathered with us that are politically correct, I know that it's just disturbed you that I've made a final executive judgment for you. I'm doing what I'm called to do. And that's tell you the truth. And the truth is, there's a real hell and there's a real consequence, and sin will kill you. No matter what you call it or who votes for it, it's still sin. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, what party do you support? I said, neither. I'm for the party of those things that are right and those things that are wrong. Those things that are right and those things that are wrong. And this is what's wrong. Sin will kill you. This is what's right. Jesus is risen and you will live a new life. That's the party of right and wrong. There's a wrong that leads to death and there is a right that leads to abundant life. And I pray that you today would say, you know what? Jesus! Jesus! I need to hear from you. Jesus! I need to know you. Jesus! I need to fall in love with you. He's risen. Did they tell you today he's risen? Did they tell you today they couldn't keep him in the grave? Did they tell you today that there's no power on earth that can contain Jesus? So I'm not surprised when everybody wants to get rid of Jesus. In fact, I'm a little excited. This is like biblical days. Nobody wants Jesus to get loose. Because guess what he does? Frees you. How many of y'all are a little free in here? Anybody here a little free? Ooh, you got to get Jesus because he won't cooperate. Guess what he tells poor people they are? Blessed! I mean, Jesus is, he's a madman. He looks at the poor and he says, blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And the world goes, don't you tell them that. We've had them convinced they can be nothing for centuries. And here you, Jesus, are telling a human being that thinks they're nothing, they can be somebody. Oh, I think he's risen. What do you think? I think he's risen. I think he's risen. There were some dilemmas. How many of y'all glad to know that God speaks to us today and says, you know what? I want to help you get through your dilemma. Did Jesus have a few dilemmas? Being killed was one. It's kind of a big dilemma. They crucified him on Friday. And you say, well, who crucified him? What are most of you going to yell out? The Jews did it. Some of you are going to go, no, it was not the Jews historically. It was the Romans did it. You know who did it? Steve Ayers. Oh, by the way, you joined me. Have you all ever met a human being without sin? Now, note how I said that. I didn't ask if you had met a human being who thought they had not sinned. I ask if you have met a human being truly without sin. What put Jesus on that cross was the sin of humanity. God said he wanted to free sinners. Any of y'all glad to know that our God that created us, put us into motion, wants to free sinners? Is this good news in the 21st century? God wants to free sinners. So I want to give you three things today that I want you to hold on to that come out of this resurrection moment. First of all, I want to tell you in the name of Jesus, live! Live! I've been praying all week long, oh God, make this Easter an Easter where we as a group of people would hear our task is to be testimony to the resurrection. If we were in the early church, guess what? Before I started preaching, I would have some of you stand and say, give evidence of the resurrection this week. And a lot of y'all would pop up and be claiming the miracles that God has done in your life. And before y'all got done testifying, the power of the resurrection would be in our presence. Maybe we need church like that again. Maybe we need a church where we gather every week, not to hear what's going on, but to know what's going on in God's realm. I want you to know that God loves you dearly so much that he died on the cross and 3 days later, he's risen. And some of you today, guess what? You were brought here today not because it's Easter, but because Jesus Christ wants to lovingly get down in your life, forgive you of your sin, and bring you to eternity. That's what God wants for you. He loves you that much. There is a passionate God that pursues his people. You say, well, Pastor Steve, you know, it's not in vogue anymore. I got good news. Jesus never runs with the majority.
In fact, I feel better all the time.
There wasn't a large group at Jesus' crucifixion other than a mob yelling at him. But there was a few followers. One made it to the cross. The disciple John. The others fled, but Jesus went ahead and died anyway. He brought a stunning reality to the soldiers that thrust the spear in his side. Even the soldiers with all of their military might confessed, this must be the Son of God. As it turned dark and things changed, a lot of them said, uh-oh, this isn't your ordinary crucifixion. How many of y'all realize that every one of you have had the same uh-oh in your life? Well, I want to show you something that's great. The Gospel of Mark, they get there, they got a problem. This has always been just wondering, curious, makes me curious. Why were they so worried about Jesus? Why would you have to roll a stone in front of a dead man's tomb? Why is this dead man so threatening? I've always been tickled about this prayer issue in our culture. And everybody's so scared somebody's going to say a prayer. Well, if they're useless, what's the big deal? If there's nothing to them, why does that crank everybody up? I mean, we prayed before football games, and Lord knows it hadn't helped the score. And it wasn't because God was against us. It's because we were no good. In fact, we pleaded, God, have mercy on us as we go attempt this tonight. But why are we so scared of what God might do? You know what? I believe sometimes those who don't believe have more faith than those who do. It's always just been interesting to me that in the midst of a society that didn't want to hear from Jesus, they put a stone in front of his grave. How many of you all have seen dead people walk? Me either. Usually after they're dead, I don't worry about them as much. You know what I mean? If I have an enemy against me and that enemy dies, I'm not like worried the next day. Well, they'll be back. But they had heard what Jesus had said. They had heard that he would rise again. That on the third day he would destroy the temple. And in 3 days the temple would be rebuilt. Amen. Somebody was worried this man might be God. Amen. Even his closest disciples wondered how they were going to move the what? Stone. Isn't it interesting? Now, obviously, the Romans put a guard there because they didn't want anybody to steal the body and create a legend. The Jews were a little worried, too, because if Jesus comes out of the grave and does what he said he's going to do, oh, my goodness, we lose our what? Power. What's everybody after today? Come on. Get with me today. It's Easter. Get real. What's everybody after? Power. Isn't it about power? I want to be recognized. I want to be known. What's Jesus after? Life. I've come that you might have life. Live. Well, look what happens. If you got your Bibles, go with me to the Gospel of Mark. And if you don't have your Bibles, don't panic. I'll read. And here we are at the resurrection. Early in the morning. Verse 4, it comes to life. But when they looked up, they saw the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. Not only did they get a stone, they got a what kind of stone? Large. They were really working at keeping this dead man dead, weren't they? How many of y'all notice there's a lot of people that have to work hard to keep Jesus dead? In fact, you know what? If you're authentically saved, you have to work hard at keeping Jesus dead in your life. Jesus doesn't die naturally. And Jesus doesn't like to stay dead long. How many of you notice? How many of y'all, even at times when you sing a great hymn or you know God loves you a lot, you just want to burst loose in worship and you feel it coming up in you. But then you look around and you go, oh, Lord, I may not be proper if they see me move like that. White people really have this problem. They go, the Lord wants me to dance. And they go, oh, gosh, that's really going to look bad. But the Lord loves it. Amen? Amen. Now, how many of you have ever had that moment in worship where you just knew God was so alive? You wanted to just burst forth, but then you looked around and go, oh, somebody will think I'm foolish. I want to tell you something. This cross is foolish. Paul said so. The reason I'm a student of Paul has always intrigued me. One of the most intellectual guys that walked the face of the earth in his moment of time. And he states the cross is foolish to the wise. See, Paul speaks with credibility. Paul didn't fall off his chariot one day and get a call by God. He studied with the best of the best. If Paul was in our time, he would have probably been a Harvard man and a Yale man. He would have had this sophisticated resume. And Paul himself says, let me tell you what, this is a foolish message to those who are trying to save themselves. Foolish! And he said, this message goes void unless there is a resurrection. Lest Jesus comes to life, all is in vain. Well, he came to life. They had a problem. On the way to the tomb, they were wondering, how in the world are we going to get the stone rolled away? What had they forgotten? What Jesus had said. What did Jesus say? On the third day, I'll what? Come on, work with me, church. On the third day, what? I'll be back. He did the Terminator before the Terminator existed. He told him, I'll be back. I'll rise again. On the third day. On the third day. On the what?
Third day.
Everything changes on the third day. But even his disciples said, how are we going to roll the stone what?
Away.
How many of y'all are ever like that? How am I going to get through it? How am I going to get over this? How am I going to get rid of my sin? Oh my God, do you really know what I've done? I want you to know that God rolls away our sin. Because here's what I want you to know. Jesus Christ does not want you to stay dead.
Amen.
You know how I know? 3 days worth of dead is about all God can take. I just love it. He rented a tomb. I mean, where do you go to rent a tomb? I mean, where do you go get that? Can you imagine going over to one of the area funeral homes and go, hey, by the way, I need a grave plot for 3 days. What do you charge for 3 days? What do you mean when you need it for 3 days? Well, in the third day, I'm not going to need it anymore. What do you charge? I'm going to ask Kirby that someday, what he charges for 3 days. And then whatever he tells me, I'm going to tell him it's too much. It's 3 days. 3 days worth of to take care of all of our dead. The stone was rolled away. Note that. God will roll it away. God will take it away. God will make a way. He is alive. He is resurrected. Look at this. Look at this. The stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting there on the right side. And the Gospel of Mark says, and they were alarmed. Me too. I don't know about you all, but dead stuff kind of creeps me out. What about you all? I have never done this. We're going to the funeral home today. Have you all ever been like that? Me either. You kind of go in funeral homes and you go, ooh, funeral home. And like when you have to go back and look at all those caskets. How many of y'all kind of peek inside first just to make sure everything's empty? Okay, now you got the feeling. I'm not being morbid here. I'm being truthful. They're walking into a tomb, expecting to find death. And they find a man sitting on the right side, and they're a little alarmed. What about you? I'm glad Steve Ayers wasn't a part of this story. And Steve Ayers, one of the disciples, first of all, it had never been early in the morning. It had been that afternoon, Steve Ayers lumbered to the tomb, wondering how they were going to get the stone rolled away. It was high noon. The sun was bright. It was a wonderful day. He noticed the stone was rolled away. He stepped inside, and a man sitting on the right in gleaming white clothing spoke to him. Steve Ayers ran from the tomb, and nobody knows what happened since then. It's real. But they're speaking truth. And when, watch this, here's the good news. When you speak truth, it'll stop your attention in ridiculous moments. Truth. How many of y'all really want to live free? Or you just want to live like everybody else? Let me warn you of something, church. Those who choose to live popular will choose to die for a long time. Can I say that one more time? Those who choose to live popular will die for a long time. Those who choose to live in Christ will live forever and ever 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 and ever. Because you know what? There's not a stone big enough to hold him back. Hold on. There's not a Rome sophisticated enough to shut him out. And so you know what I say to the American culture? Take your best shot. You can blow Jesus off to the side. You can make it irrelevant. You can change everything he said. But I'm going to tell you something about Jesus you better hold on to. He always rises again. You know how I know? He's not there. This guy, you know, he's a young man. And he's gleaming. Looks like some of y'all today, young men gleaming. I saw some of you young men walking in with a good-looking woman, and you were gleaming. That's not why this young man was gleaming. He's gleaming because the Son of God has done what the Son of God said the Son of God would do. He's what? Listen to these words. The words of Scripture that should captivate you forever. As they entered the tomb, and they saw the young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed. He said, don't be alarmed, he said. Are you looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified? He is risen. Here's a line I like. He's not here. A couple of months ago in my life, I was actually at the tomb site. One that makes the most sense in Israel, where he was probably entombed for 3 days. And as I looked at that piece of stone, limestone, hauled out in the side of a mountain on a hill in a garden, the scripture mark came to my mind. He's not here. He's not here. That's good news. He's not here. And a lot of you don't know where he is. It's because you keep sticking your head in a tomb. He's not here. He's here.
Amen.
He's here. He's here today. He's here tomorrow, and the day after that, and the year after that, and the century after that, and the millennium after that, and the trillennium, and zillennium, and zibillion, and whatever goes on and on for a fin. Okay, I've lost myself in math there. Forever and ever. Amen. So today I want to give you an invitation to live. How many of y'all just need Jesus in your life? What if you just trusted Him? I'm not asking you to join the church. I'm asking you to fall in love with Jesus. Because here's what I want you to know. He's in love with you. You say, oh man, Ayers, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. I do know this. See if I'm correct. Every one of us in the room here broke the Ten Commandments. Would you agree with me? Now, I live in Kentucky. You live in Kentucky. Most of us are going to get to heaven in Kentucky because we're what? Pretty good people, right? How many of y'all have heard that at least once this week? Well, I'd go over there at church, but I'm just as good as anybody in that church. I hear that all the time about Hillview. They go, well, I'm just as good as your members. I said, you're better than a lot of my members. I said, you're better than me. I said, you have been, according to you, more morally sound than I have been in my life. But here's your problem. You can't pass the Ten Commandments. I don't know anybody passes the Ten Commandments. Because those who try to pass the Ten Commandments fail the Ten Commandments because they lie. And that's in the... Huh. So what am I going to do, God? I'm in a tomb. Well, since I'm in a tomb because my sin has killed me. You remember Friday, Thursday night, we went to the garden. And on these boards, we wrote what? Sin. We had some dillies up here, too. Everything you can imagine was on these boards. Everything. And guess what Jesus did? The blood of Jesus. Can y'all see any sin on these boards today? Somebody show me where the sin is today because God delivers it all. When He gets out of the grave, He walks all the way out. And He really wants every one of you to be saved today. None of us are that good. Come on, I'm talking to some of my men in here. And some of you women do it too because you listen to them. Come on, you're never going to be good enough to meet Jesus, but today Jesus would love to come in your life forever. How many of y'all understand that to be true? Really what we're saying is this. I am good according to the people that I compare myself to. True? But I don't ever compare myself to people that are better than me, do y'all? I try to get a few that are messing up a little more. I have to work at that. It's kind of like an old preacher. One day he's put in a dilemma. They were hard on him that day. They said, preacher, I tell you what, we'll give you $100 while you do this funeral if you can say one thing good about this man. He said, I'll take you up on that bet. Well, he started off on that funeral and he said, I want to tell y'all, this was the biggest scoundrel we've had in our town. He was a womanizer. He was a drunk. He was a thief. He was a liar and he was a cheat. But I want to tell y'all something. Compared to his brother, he was a saint. Now, isn't that the way we do it sometimes? Let me give you the good news today. Without Christ, we all end up in the tomb. With Christ, we walk out. Here's what was really cool about Jesus. After he was resurrected, guess what? He rolls away rocks and he walks through doors. Because when we live in the power of the resurrection, we really live in the power of resurrection. Then guess what we can do? We can walk through life in the power of God, knowing that He is alive. Kevin Williams! He's not here, but He is there. I just wanted y'all to know today that Jesus Christ is still alive in the 21st century. And no matter what anybody says about Him, or even if 51% of this nation decide that Jesus is not cool anymore, guess what? Jesus is still going to be Jesus. This is what has confused all of us democracy-loving Americans. God does not come from a democracy. He does not take votes. He is the Son of God, the King of Kings. He does not have a Congress. He does not have a Senate. He does not have helpers. He is God, and what He says will be. And when He says on the third day, He will rise, on the third day, He rises. And when He says to you today, your sins are forgiven, then they are forgiven. And you will reign with Him forever, forever. Amen.
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 How many of y'all would like to go ahead and let some people get saved today on Easter? How many of y'all think that'd be a good idea? Yeah. Amen. Well, we're going to go ahead and stand up. This altar's open right now. If you need to come and pray and sing and shout and let God touch you, let me just pray with you for a moment. I got good news. We've already had people come to know Jesus Christ at the 8 o'clock service. And I'm sure with all you beautiful people, there are going to be some more. Did I tell you today he's not here. He's not in a tomb. He's in you. He's in me. He's in this world. Now, if you've never asked Jesus in your life, here's the way you do it. Lord Jesus, I know I broke those 10 commandments. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Go ahead and tell Him right now. We're not going to close our eyes today. We're going to pay attention and we're going to say, God, this is my prayer. Nobody leaves this house today lost. Y'all know I kind of like Rick Warren. I think he's a real dude. Larry King asked him in an interview Monday night, said, well, Pastor Warren, do you believe Christianity's in decline? Rick said, I can't speak for all of Christianity. I can't speak for the whole kingdom of God. All I know is this month I had 2,000 people in my membership class. And he said last night, he said, we baptized on Sunday for 5.5 hours as we baptized over 800 people. I say He's risen. Amen. And so come with Jesus today. Come with Jesus today. Lord Jesus, today, whoever it is, those people that You have drawn to You, Lord Jesus, right now I just simply ask that they would ask You to be forgiven. They would say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my what? Sin. So roll that stone away today, Lord. They would believe You died on the cross and You've risen from the grave, and they would receive Your grace today. See what happens to your life if you choose to do that. See what happens if you let God take total control. And Lord, I pray that we might come today and give thanks. I don't know about you all, but I'm living a life like I've never lived because Jesus has risen from the grave. And I'm glad to know nobody's going to shut Him down. And if you don't believe that, I'd love to have an intellectual debate with you. For 2,000 years, they've tried to put Him back in the tomb. Reverend Reynolds, for 2,000 years, they've tried to roll the stone back over the message. And it won't roll back. It'll only roll heavenward. So may it do so right now. In the name of Jesus. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Through the acts of grace. May you come and receive Christ. If you've never been baptized, this is the time to decide to be baptized. And if there's 100 or 200 of you, we'll do it tonight. You say, Pastor Ayers, you're talking out of your mind. You better believe I am. I'm talking from one who is risen, who has nail-pierced hands, a scar in his side, a crown of thorns that are no longer on his head because they have been replaced with the crown of life. And He calls for you and me to live. He calls for you to live. Lord Jesus, forever and ever, amen. Thank You for being here today, Jesus, here in our presence. So may we worship You at this altar. In the name of Jesus, receive Him, love Him, praise Him, be healed by Him. This altar's open. Come on, church. It's open moment. Come on. Come on. Come on.